It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. We unpack the welfare fraud scandal now that's swirling in Mississippi and the connection to Packers legendary retired NFL Hall of Fame quarterback Brett Favre. The nonprofit newsroom, Mississippi Today, obtained text messages that connected the dots, showing how Favre pressed welfare officials to steer taxpayer money to his projects. Call in about Brett Favre's legacy. What you wonder about the litigation in his home state, 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Anna Wolf is an investigative reporter writing about poverty and economic justice for Mississippi Today. Anna, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me on.
Well, how has former Packers quarterback Brett Favre become a central figure, as you put it, in Mississippi's welfare scandal?
Well, you know, this actually dates back more than 2 years. So back in 2020, the auditor's office had done an investigation and arrested six people in connection with the embezzlement of these welfare funds from a federal program called Temporary Assistance for Needy Families. At that time, we were able to connect Brett Favre to the scheme because the indictments listed a company that had received some of this money. It didn't take too much research to find that Brett Favre was kind of a spokesperson for this company called Prevacus, a pharmaceutical company. And so we requested emails from the Department of Human Services, the welfare department, that referenced Brett Favre and found that he was actually meeting with the governor and welfare officials regarding getting grant funds to this company that eventually ended in, you know, criminal indictments for a few individuals. After that, we realized that welfare money had actually also gone to a volleyball stadium at University of Southern Mississippi, his alma mater, and where his daughter played volleyball. And we were able to tie that back to him. And this was, again, back in 2020. The auditor then included Brett Favre in his audit report that came out in May of 2020, finding that he had actually also received $1 million himself to do kind of promotional activities, radio ads, that kind of thing for the welfare program. You know, it's been kind of 2 years trying to pull strings and figure out what else happened. And it wasn't until this year that we uncovered text messages that showed that the governor was even more involved than we realized in each of those deals.
This is getting more complicated, more people being pulled into this. But going back to kind of the beginning, Favre becomes a kind of spokesperson for a company marketing a drug to treat concussions. Just a little bit more there. How does that piece fit into the embezzlement scheme?
Yeah, that was actually kind of the first clue that we had back in the indictments in 2020. One of the things that this nonprofit founder, Nancy New, was charged with was making personal investments in this pharmaceutical company with welfare money. So that's obviously illegal. You can't, you know, take public funds and convert them to your personal use to make investments in a, you know, for-profit company. We found out later that Nancy New was actually discussing this project with Brett Favre, sort of how the genesis of this funding got to the company was a meeting at Brett Favre's house with Nancy New, the welfare director, John Davis, and the founder of the company.
Explain what we just referred to it as this welfare money is. And you mentioned TANF, the Temporary Assistance for Needy Families. Why is this money vulnerable to like misuse, manipulation?
Yeah, that's a great question. So Temporary Assistance for Needy Families is the program that a lot of people would recognize as the welfare check. So it provides direct cash assistance to very, very poor families. It was created in the 90s during welfare reform under Bill Clinton. And at that time, when they wrote it into law, their idea was that states should have broad flexibility to spend this money. It's a block grant. Any way that they see fit to help people in poverty, right? So it doesn't have to go to cash assistance. It can go to other kinds of anti-poverty programs like parenting classes or, you know, anti-teen pregnancy prevention or fatherhood programs, these kinds of things. And so you kind of saw in Mississippi and in other states that over time, the goals of the program kind of got distorted over time, and officials found that they could spend the money on these other ancillary things that, you know, might make their politically connected cronies happy.
Like a volleyball stadium?
Like a volleyball stadium, exactly.
So you look at these text messages suggesting that the former Mississippi governor, Phil Bryant, helped Brett Favre gather these federal dollars for this volleyball stadium at the very college where Favre's daughter played. So, you know, how is that possible? How does Favre realize what this money is and that it's not for volleyball stadiums?
Yeah, that's a good question. And that's something that I've been asked a lot. You know, it's like, did Favre know that this is TANF money? And my response to that is like, do we think that Favre knows what TANF is? What is important is that he knew that he had to kind of finagle the purpose of this grant and the purpose of this building in order to satisfy federal regulations, right? So they couldn't just say it was a volleyball stadium. They were calling it a wellness center. And they said that the building was going to serve underprivileged families by holding rallies and maybe having some office space in the building where people could come get services. But all of those ideas were kind of vague and fuzzy and clearly not intentional, and not the purpose of helping families, but of building this volleyball stadium that Brett Favre wanted to see at his alma mater.
We're talking about Packers legend Brett Favre and Mississippi's ongoing welfare scandal with Anna Wolf. She is an investigative reporter with the nonprofit newsroom Mississippi Today that had broke the story, has been covering it all along through recent years. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Questions you have and how you feel about Brett Favre's legacy. So, Anna, you know, as this becomes more and more connected to other people. I mean, you've looked at court documents and thousands of pages of emails and text messages. And authorities say it's painting a picture of the largest public embezzlement scheme in Mississippi history. So other than Favre, who is implicated in the scandal?
Yeah, so there is a lot of misconceptions about this case because there is such a big number of almost $100 million that was misspent here, according to the state auditor. And that is made up of a huge list of purchases that auditors found violated federal regulations around TANF, right? So that could be something as simple as like TANF money went to an after-school program or like a sports camp that maybe served kids who didn't fall under a certain income threshold, right? So it violated TANF regs because it did not serve needy families. So the list goes from anything as sort of like non-nefarious as that to something as egregious as a volleyball stadium or investments in this pharmaceutical company, and anything in between, right? So you've got other athletes who have been implicated here. The family of Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man WWE wrestler, him and his sons received a total of around $5 million from the welfare program. And that was to, they said, provide services and programming to like inner city youth in Jackson. And there's very little evidence of those services, very little evidence of like who they actually helped with that $5 million. There was another athlete, Marcus Dupree, who the nonprofit actually purchased a horse ranch for that he's currently living at through his foundation. So, I mean, it's kind of a laundry list if you go through and just look at like all of these, you know, we paid lobbyists, we bought vehicles. I say we, I mean, you know, the welfare program through this nonprofit that was supposed to be running this sort of public-private partnership that would, they said, wrap around families to provide services, you know, to the family as a whole. And we saw that really what that meant was benefiting their friends and family.
Anna Wolf is an investigative reporter for Mississippi Today, which has been uncovering new details and breaking stories about Mississippi's welfare system scandal, with retired Packers quarterback Brett Favre being a central figure. Call in about the scheme and how you view Favre now, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We dig into how Packers legendary retired quarterback Brett Favre is a key figure in his home state of Mississippi's ongoing welfare scandal. The nonprofit newsroom Mississippi Today, they broke the story on this welfare scheme over 2 years ago. Join in with your questions about the millions of dollars in welfare misspending, your views on Favre's involvement, 800-642-1234. Anna Wolf is an investigative reporter for Mississippi Today and stays with us. Let's take a call now. Steve in Sun Prairie. Hi, Steve.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I've been trying to follow the story since this first happened, and I will say, in all due respect to your guest, I am still utterly confused in terms of what Brett Favre did that was illegal. It seems like he was an advocate for a volleyball stadium to be built in Mississippi for the betterment of Mississippi. If there's crimes that occurred, the crimes are by government officials. So I don't see why we're attacking an advocate who was trying to do what he thought was in the best interest of Mississippi. Help me understand that.
Steve, thank you. Anna.
Yeah, so the civil suit that the Department of Human Services has filed against, you know, this huge list of people, including Brett Favre, says that Favre knew that what the welfare officials were doing and that he was encouraging them to do was a sham to cover up the fact that Favre had actually personally committed $5 million or however many millions to build this volleyball stadium. And instead of paying for it himself, he solicited the money from other areas, including the welfare department. So in this case, the significance of that allegation is that the state is saying that he made a personal guarantee to construct the volleyball stadium, and in soliciting welfare money was actually able to, you know, benefit himself by relieving himself of that responsibility. You know, that allegation, that civil charge against him says that he understood that grant funds provided by DHS could not be used for brick and mortar, and so that he was a character within this scheme to convert the money in that way. Now, these are civil charges. So, you know, what he did, what they're alleging that he did, was allegedly illegal, but not criminal, right? He hasn't been charged criminally. There has been someone else that has actually already pleaded guilty to defrauding the government related to his involvement in this scheme, but Favre has not been charged criminally.
How is public opinion of Brett Favre being affected in Mississippi since his involvement in the scandal?
No, I think that a lot of people here locally, you know, sort of know his reputation as sort of being kind of cheap and being politically connected. And so it's not that big of a surprise to a lot of people. But other people are certainly disappointed that he would be involved in something that smells this bad.
I think you've called him Mississippi's favorite son before. And that, I would imagine, then is quite a blow to have him so wrapped up in this.
Yeah, certainly. For the people who sort of like the caller just now, you know, want to see him in a certain light and want to defend, you know, what he did, there's certainly that sentiment out there.
Favre has yet to grant an interview to Mississippi Today, but I think you've exchanged a text message or two. If you, like, had the opportunity to sit down with Favre, what would you ask?
I think I would ask more specifically, you know, what his conversations were like with these folks, and sort of like when he texted the nonprofit founder, you know, can anyone find out where this money came from, which was a text that we found. You know, what was his mentality behind that? And when they said, you know, we have to pretend like this building is going to serve underprivileged people, like, how did he sort of reconcile that in his mind, knowing that all along the real purpose was to have a new state-of-the-art volleyball facility at his alma mater's campus?
It just still baffles me how Favre could wield so much power and influence over how government welfare money is spent, how his connections could make such an impact. How is that possible with federal government money?
Yeah, I think that's a really interesting point, that the people who were running the state and running this welfare program were sort of so wrapped up in and they just wanted celebrity around them. They exalted celebrity and what those celebrities could provide to them. And when we saw them, being influenced very heavily by not just Brett Favre, but these wrestlers, right? And these other athletes that they just wanted to be close to because it made them feel important and because it elevated their stature. And it's just kind of it's disappointing to know that there are people running the state who that is sort of their main motive, right? And not serving the people that they're tasked to serve in the poorest state in the country, by the way.
Anna Wolf, investigative reporter with the nonprofit newsroom Mississippi Today, as we talk about Packers legend Brett Favre, Mississippi's ongoing welfare scandal. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Anna, what can other states, including here in Wisconsin, what can we learn from what Mississippi is reckoning with?
I think that it's a huge indictment on the block grant structure, right? That the federal government is doling out millions and millions of dollars to each state without really asking the state to provide evidence back to the federal government about how they're spending the money, and especially how how the programs that they are spending money on are actually helping people. This program is meant to draw people out of poverty, right? And I mean that I there's it's one of the most important goals, I would think, of certainly this department and of the government. And the federal government doesn't ask the state to provide any evidence that they're actually doing that or to fund, evidence-based programs that would actually reduce poverty in states like Mississippi, where that is such a problem that we face.
Let's bring in Tom in Madison. Tom, what's coming up for you?
Oh, good morning. I clearly concur that the federal government needs to put stricter rules in place here, but I think that this entire scheme was cooked up by the Mississippi Republican Party, which is basically opposed to welfare in any form to begin with, and that Brett Favre was a celebrity spokesperson for it. However, I don't view him as an innocent party. I think once the money started moving past him, he was interested in more money for his pet projects. It's unfortunate insofar as his judgment may be clouded by too many hard tackles in football, but that doesn't take away his civil and/or criminal liability here.
Tom, thank you. Anna, what do you think of that framing, that lens to look through?
Yeah, I mean, I just talked about how lax the federal rules are, and I've always said though that it wouldn't matter that the rules are so lax if Mississippi actually cared about its people, right? If it actually cared about doling out money in a way that would help people and transform lives, then it wouldn't matter how few regulations there are on the money. And yeah, I think he's noting that Brett Favre has responsibility here. He isn't a government official, as the previous caller mentioned. But he wields a lot of influence, and in this case, he wielded his influence to divert money away from people that needed it and to the projects that he wanted for whatever personal reason that he had. The pharmaceutical company that he helped usher funds to, he was going to profit from eventually. That was the goal. He was invested in that company, and that company getting its, you know, drug trials off the ground was eventually going to earn him money in the long run, you know, millions of dollars he projected. So, so that kind of gives you some insight into, you know, what he had to gain here.
Anna, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. Appreciate it.
Anna Wolf is an investigative reporter for Mississippi Today, the state's first nonprofit, nonpartisan newsroom. We have a link to their coverage landing page called Mississippi Welfare. It's at WPR.org/mornings. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.